Welcome to Your Aged Care Compass podcast. Join us to find out how to support your older loved ones at home. We're going to help you make sense of Australia's aged care system. We talk about legal and financial considerations for aging and how chronic health conditions impact your older loved ones' well-being. And we share real life stories of where it went wrong for people and how we got them back on track.
Hi listeners, I'm Michelle. Today, Coral and I are doing an Ask Me Anything episode with a focus on support at home, because that's what we're being asked about all the time. There was a big announcement from the department last week regarding the commencement date of support at home, so we'll just touch on that and address what we believe are going to be the questions coming from this announcement. We've had questions coming through asking whether anything will change now that the implementation of support at home has been delayed. What's your comment on that, Cora?
The media release revealing the government's decision to delay the start of support at home until November the 1st quoted Minister Butler as saying, "The Commonwealth Home Support Program, Short-Term Restorative Care Program and Home Care Package Program will continue to support older Australians living at home." Logically, we could take that to be that nothing will change in terms of the grandfathered group who are protected, having been in the system prior to September the 12th. The hybrid group will increase in size given the delayed implementation and will now include people who were assessed from September the 13th, 2024, up until the 31st of October this year. And then new participants joining the system from November the 1st will be subject to all the changes that we've already been aware of, such as needing to be assessed and approved for specific funding streams and the co-contributions.
Do you think the delay is a wise decision?
I do, Shell. The department hasn't provided the detail that the sector needs to prepare for such a significant change. So to get this right, the new Act and the implementation of all the reforms, the foundation rests with the government. When the government has thoroughly considered the implications for recipients of care as well as providers and can ensure that older people will truly be no worse off, all older people, yep, then that would be the right time to implement support at home.
Totally agree. Coral, an important question we've been asked is, where do I begin? Could you let our listeners know how to start the process of getting into the aged care system?
So, Shell, this question often comes from people who are at a point of desperation. These people are often the adult children of older people and have been aware that mum or dad are struggling at home, but haven't been able to secure formal support for their ageing parents for a number of reasons. Where do I begin? Often reflects an urgent situation. Unless you are very wealthy and can afford your own support, the pathway to subsidised, meaning that the government funds a portion of your aged care support, is via My Aged Care. People can contact My Aged Care themselves by phone or by making an online referral to kickstart this process. It's essential some time is taken before this, though. People need to understand that the screening process for in-home services is fairly superficial, and unless you are prepared, you may not convey all the detail you need to ensure that your referral reflects all your needs. People often fail to acknowledge all the informal support they're receiving from family members, neighbours, or by paying privately for services such as lawn mowing. People should reflect on their circumstances and mentally remove all the support that others are providing. A question I ask people is, would mum or dad be able to live at home if the support that you provided ceased? It's like an aha moment for people, yep, and helps them get clarity about the level of support that's required.
Yeah. I got asked this yesterday, and Coral, I know you've got people who are also concerned about this. If people have unspent funds in their home care package up until the commencement of support at home, What happens to those funds once support at home kicks in?
Yeah, look, Shel, still a lot of confusion around this, despite there's quite a bit of information out there around this, and providers, I think they're doing a good job of reassuring clients. But anyone that has unspent funds can carry over the entire amount when support at home commences. So note that the date has now changed, as we've already said, being the 1st of November and not the 1st of July. There's actually an additional 4 months for people to potentially accumulate more funds, unspent funds. And whatever that figure is at the 31st of October, people will carry over those unspent funds.
Okay, so just to clarify, it doesn't matter how much they have in unspent funds, they carry it over regardless?
That's right, they carry it all over.
Right, okay. Another question regarding unspent funds that we're being asked about a lot under support at home, with the maximum quarterly rollover of unspent funds being $1,000 or 10% of the quarterly budget funding level, whichever is greater. Does that mean someone can roll over $1,000 each quarter to total $4,000 at the end of the year?
No, absolutely not. The quarterly rollover of $1,000 or 10% of the funding level is not cumulative. So you cannot accumulate $1,000 each quarter and have $4,000 at the end of the year.
Okay. And Coral, what's happening to people who are currently getting services under the Commonwealth Home Support Program? Will anything change for them?
The Commonwealth Home Support Program is staying the same until at least July 2027. At least that is the information that we're being told by the government right now. If the Commonwealth Home Support Program is included in support at home at that time, as it's proposed, clients coming in from CHSP services will join the program as new participants. Meaning that although they're receiving aged care support prior to September the 12th, it is under a separate program, being CHSP. So joining support at home will classify them as a new participant.
Okay. We've had a couple of questions from people about being able to keep their preferred support workers and gardeners. I'm not sure if these questions come from CHSP clients or people who are self-managing their home care packages. Can you just comment on that, please, Coral?
Yeah, there still seems to be a lot of confusion around CHSP and support at home, Shell. As I've just mentioned, CHSP remains unchanged for at least another couple of years. So people receiving services under this funding should continue to receive services unchanged. For self-managed recipients, the flexibility still remains to choose your own support workers, lawn-mowing contractors and cleaners. So nothing will change regarding this model.
Okay. Now, this is a big one. There's ongoing confusion with the co-contributions too, Coral. Although it's not an easy topic to answer, the simplest way is for people to know where they were in the system as of September 12, 2024. So when the question is asked, why do I have to pay when I already have a home care package, what's the easiest way to explain this?
So September the 12th was the defining date that prescribes if people need to contribute towards the cost of their in-home services or not. There are three groups according to this date, and which group you belong to reflects how much, if any, you'll be asked to pay. The first group, the grandfathered group, is anyone who either had a home care package or was assessed as eligible, meaning they were waiting in the national priority system or the queue for their home care package to be assigned as of September the 12th. Even if their package hasn't been assigned yet, the fact that they were in the queue at that time means that they are in the grandfathered group. So the grandfathered group continues with the same level of funding, the same flexibility of services, and a no worse off position financially. For full pensioners, they will not pay anything towards any of their services for the lifetime of their home care packages. For people who are paying an income tested fee, they will have a concessional rate applied to their new contribution. Keep in mind, people will not be paying the income tested fee and contributing a fee towards the cost of their care. The income tested fee ceases when support at home commences.
Right. Community pharmacies keep Australia healthy. With 6,000 locations nationwide, they're open early, late, and longer for convenient, accessible, and safe care. Pharmacists provide home medicine reviews, dose administration aids, and essential vaccinations. Thanks to additional training, many can now treat common conditions like ear infections, wounds, and skin issues. They also support management of chronic conditions in partnership with your healthcare team. Ask your pharmacist how they can help you and your family stay well.
And Coral, just to clarify that too, that grandfathered group, those protections remain in place for them even if they get reassessed for a higher level of care.
That's correct.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So what about people who were assessed as eligible for a home care package after September 12 last year? The group we're calling the hybrid group. What's different for them? So the hybrid group start under the rules of the home care package program, and then on November the 1st, they will transition over to the financial rules of support at home. What that means is that from September the 13th, up until October the 31st, they will not have to pay a co-contribution on their services. From November the 1st, co-contributions for services received, and note, this is not a daily fee like the income-tested fee, only on services received.
Yep.
The rate will be determined by means testing through Services Australia. So the hybrid group between September the 13th and October the 31st will not have to pay a co-contribution, but come November the 1st, they will. With regards to how their services are provided, what kind of services they can get, what their care plan looks like, they will retain the flexibility of the home care package program, and they can carry over any accumulated or unspent funds during that period, September the 13th to October the 31st. And then on November the 1st, like everybody else, they are subject to that maximum of $1,000 or 10% of their package or their classification level in quarterly rollover of unspent funds.
Right.
And Coral, who would be paying the top co-contribution amount for services? So on November the 1st, at commencement of support at home, self-funded retirees who are not eligible for a Commonwealth Seniors Health Card will be paying the top co-contribution rate on services received. Everybody else is on a sliding scale depending on their means test. Coral, can you give us a quick explanation of the assessment process, please? So the assessment process is needs-based, meaning you have to have an identified need to be approved for a particular type of service. If you don't identify your needs, you may not be approved for all the services that you need. The new assessment workforce is the Single Assessment Service or System, SAS. It is a merged workforce of non-clinical assessors and clinical assessors. So if we step back to 2024, last year, we had RAS assessors, Regional Assessment Service assessors, and ACATS, Aged Care Assessment Teams. We no longer call these two teams RAS and ACATS now. They are known as Aged Care Assessors under the Single Assessment System. To note here is that there are many new assessment organisations that have entered the aged care sector and have had to build clinical teams similar to ACATS. Some new organisations in some locations have been unable to do this. And because of this, when My Aged Care sends referrals to them, these organisations are unable to complete comprehensive assessments, which is an ACAT assessment. So this is further delaying older people getting the in-home support they need because they're not being assessed. Coral, if a person is approved for the short-term restorative care program before November the 1st, can they still receive this program after the 1st of November?
Yes, at this stage anyway.
Okay. If a person has a home care package and has no unspent funds come November the 1st, and they need to purchase equipment or make modifications to their home, will they need a reassessment for the new funding pathways, the assistive technology home modification pathways?
Yes, they will need a new assessment or a reassessment. And at this time, if people are requesting a review or a reassessment, if they're looking at those new funding pathways, it would be advisable to consider an upgrade of their package or their classification level if they are in the grandfathered group.
Okay. How is the percentage for the co-contributions calculated? And if your income changes, who monitors this? Do you have to submit each time to Services Australia?
The amount that a person will be asked to contribute for eligible services and supports under support at home is determined by a means test conducted through Services Australia. It's your responsibility to notify Services Australia if your income changes, because this affects your eligibility for government subsidised services. Services Australia then notify your provider if there are changes to your fees or contributions. Not notifying Services Australia of a change of income, usually an increase in money, is regarded as fraud by Services Australia, and you're likely to be asked to pay back any concessions you were previously eligible for. People can update their financial situation online with Services Australia, or they can book an appointment with an ACSO as well, which is an aged care specialist officer who sit within Services Australia.
And we hear that they're really helpful, don't we, Coral, the ACSOs?
Absolutely. Look, yeah. The feedback from all the people that we've heard from who has visited an ACSO has just been excellent. So. Yeah. If you're unaware of this service, just jump online, listeners, and just Google aged care specialist officer, and you'll see the breakdown state by state about where these offices are located. And you can call the dedicated number and make an appointment to see your local ACSO.
Excellent. Coral, we've been asked, I guess, a bit of a comment, but also a bit of information. We'd love to know how you see self-managed operating in the new system for both existing self-managed and traditional care managed organisations. The current business structures around these two management options are poles apart. I'd love your thoughts on how this might look for some self-managed providers who don't provide care management as such.
So care management is mandatory as part of all service provision, whether that's with a self-managed model or a traditional or fully managed model. The care management fee under support at home is decreasing from 20% or maximum of 20% down to 10%. At the commencement of support at home. And this applies to both self-managed and fully managed providers. Given the package management fee ceases when support at home commences, and fully managed providers will increase the cost of their services to offset this, self-managed providers will be able to add up to 10% on top of their invoices to offset this.
Right.
So an example of this is that if a person is with a self-managed provider and they have, let's say, domestic assistance, they have a cleaner coming in for an hour once a week. Let's just say that that service costs $100. In our current system, right now, June 2025, the person would submit that invoice to their self-managed provider and that $100 would be paid without any fees on top. Come the commencement of support at home, if you submit that same, or not the same invoice, but let's say you have domestic assistance in November and you're charged $100 for that and that invoice goes into your self-managed provider, the self-managed provider can put an additional fee or a fee of up to 10% on top of that invoice. So potentially where that cost of the domestic assistance has been $100 up until November the 1st, from November the 1st, it will be $110.
Right. Well, Coral, thanks for answering all these questions today. As we keep saying, there's so much to get your head around with this new program. Listeners, as Coral mentioned, the rollout of support at home has been deferred to November 1st this year. We hope that it gives both the government and providers more time to consider the issues that many in the industry have flagged as problems. We're pleased that you joined us today and look forward to you listening in next time. Until then, take care.
Hey, care community. Thanks for listening to this episode. So you never miss a show, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to know more about what we do, head to our website, cmeacn.com.au.